Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part 5 of a 7-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, with today's message specifically entitled Truest Hope, based off of Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 1 through 14 and John chapter 11 verses 17 through 27. So let us dive into the Word today. First, Ezekiel. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me,
"Son of man, can these bones become living people again?"
"O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me,
"Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'"
So I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me,
"Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.'"
So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me,
"Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, 'We have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and that I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken."
Amen. And now from John. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises, at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" She told him, "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Amen. We are all a people of hope. And we all hope for a variety of different things. We hope for security. We hope for happiness. We hope for a wonderful family. We hope to live long and prosper, as Mr. Spock would say. Yet apart from God, all humans find themselves in a state of death. The only way out of that state is by knowing who to place our hope in. When I was a child, I had many experiences of death. When I was 3 or 4 years old, I nearly died as I had a viral infection in my bloodstream. I can remember my grandmother suffering with emphysema, barely being able to breathe, and eventually dying of colon cancer. My aunt died of liver failure as she was born with a defect in her liver. She died due to complications of transplant surgery. My great-grandma died of heart failure, and within a year, my great-grandfather died as well. My dad's father died suddenly of a massive stroke in bed. My father found him. I was a freshman in high school, and I remember this deeply troubling me because I was very close to my grandfather, had a very close relationship with him, and had very little closure due to the circumstances of his death. Another one of my great-grandmas died while I was in high school, and I distinctly remember her graveside service, and I'm reminded of it every time I lead one myself. I also knew a neighborhood kid who took his own life. And of course, I had pets that died. My first dog laid dying in my lap as we raced to get her to the nearest 24-hour animal hospital. All of this when I was a child. Since then, I've experienced even more deaths of those I loved, including a great uncle, my maternal grandmother, a second cousin, a cousin through marriage, my wife's grandfather, a second father to me, and also a second mom to me, more pets, and more. Now, while there are aspects to our human lives in this world that are completely and utterly breathtaking and beautiful, we cannot help but notice that behind the beauty, something is off. Something is not right. Things are temporal, momentary, fleeting, and eventually, all things die. And I am not just speaking of physical death, for we human beings experience death in so many different ways. Today's scripture readings are, in part, about the state of death we find ourselves in. In Ezekiel, the death is both physical and metaphorical. The physical death occurred during the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem, where many Jews died once the city fell. Ezekiel, however, is a Jewish prophet living in Babylon, in exile, along with other Jewish leaders. The death he is speaking of has everything to do with the state of despair and loss of identity that the exiled Jews experienced due to the consequences of the sin that led them into exile. In the Gospel of John, we read of the physical death of Jesus' friend Lazarus. Now, Lazarus' family was not only grieving their loved one, but the fact that their friend Jesus didn't come in time to heal Lazarus. They must have been thinking, how could he not show up? And when he finally does arrive, he brings some gibberish regarding future resurrection of the dead. He had healed so many other people, but he couldn't take the time to come and heal his friend. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks. In both cases, in Ezekiel and in John, we see God countering our death with the promise of resurrection. However, in John, we not only receive the promise of resurrection, but it is revealed who is the resurrection and the life. It is revealed who is our truest hope. I want to invite you to honestly self-reflect for a moment. In what ways have you experienced death in your life? In what way are you currently experiencing death? In what ways Have you been misplacing your hope only to find yourself in a state of hopelessness? Let us listen now to John as he shares his experiences with death.
I've been involved in the funeral business all my life. I was raised in a family that had a funeral service, a funeral home. It was a family calling rather than a business. So death to me is familiar. I think back through my life growing up in Newton, just down the street from here on the corner, Ryerson and Main, and that's where my grandfather and grandmother lived in that house. And when there was a funeral call, the house, the first floor, was cleaned out of furniture and grandma's valuable things were put away. And we had the funeral service right there in the parlor of the house. I think of all the people down through my life that I lost. A dear friend in grade school who went hunting one day with a group of boys and accidentally was shot to death. Later on in high school, I lost a very, very close friend again to an accidental auto accident on a New Year's Eve. And that affected me a lot because in both of these cases, I had to go with my dad up to the hospital and bring those bodies back to the funeral home for preparation. And at the time, it didn't really zero in on me, but now that I think about it, it was kind of traumatic to me to see those friends of mine. So that's tragic death. And then there's when I was in the service, I was stationed over in Germany, and several of the pilots that were patrolling the East Berlin or the East Germany border during the Cold War were killed by attacks from the East German and Russian air forces. So they were heroic deaths to me because the men were serving our country. And then going on down through my family, of course my grandmother and father passed away, but again, that was sort of natural. I mean, they were in their 90s, so it was a blessing perhaps. So that was a blessed, those were blessed deaths as well as my mother and father. But then I get to a phantom death, I call it. I lost the love and the companionship of a daughter and a granddaughter. They've become more and more distant in their ability to interact with the rest of the family. I think of the funeral services that we're all familiar with and the quotes from Revelation and John. I'm sure that my faith in God and everlasting life is brought forth to me more and more as I get older. I'm old enough now, of course, but aren't we all? Well, I think of ChristCare, for instance. That one little group that we meet every couple of times a month for the past number of years has helped me immensely in through our Bible studies, and we all share together the love of Christ and what he brought to us and blessed us with.
Just like John, we too have many different experiences with death. Also like John, we can find peace amidst death. All we need to do is know that our truest hope is Jesus Christ, who not only conquered death and the grave, but who offers us resurrection as well. This resurrection is both a present and a future reality, one that can be lived into immediately and one that will be experienced fully in the coming kingdom of God. Friends, I challenge you to continue your weekly spiritual practices and offering them up to God. I also challenge you to make Jesus Christ your one and only hope, for he will never disappoint. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this challenging message. And we just ask, Lord, that those who are listening to it will grow even closer to you and will begin to form even deeper and more powerful and more meaningful spiritual practices so that they can grow closer to you and also grow in their faithfulness and their discipleship as you are calling us all to. So Lord, help us and be with us and guide us through strengthening our relationship with you. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Friends, I want to thank you for tuning in. This is again part 5 of a 7-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, and this message was entitled Truest Hope. I certainly hope that you will again tune in next week as we go to part 6. But in the meantime, friends, I want you to check out the episode notes. And in this crazy COVID-19 time, I would ask that you just, you know, look out for each other. You know, obviously we have to keep our physical distance, but that doesn't stop us from giving a phone call to somebody in need or writing a letter or even just simply praying. So I would invite you to take care of one another and to be good to each other and to share the love of Christ with one another in the ways that you can, but also follow the CDC guidelines so that we can kick this COVID-19 thing right in the butt, which is what we need to do. But in the meantime, friends, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.